If you have a financial question for Baker Bruce, you can call this number 24-7. That's 1-888-6-ADVICE. And you can also email those questions to yourmoney@wealthenhancement.com. But right now, you can also call or text, and we urge you to do so, our studio line, 651-461-9226. Right now, here's Senior Vice President, Financial Advisor Peg Webb, and the founder of Wealth Enhancement Group, Financial Advisor Bruce Helmer. Good morning to you both.
Good morning, Denny. Good to hear your voice. Good morning, Bruce.
Hi, Peg. Hello, Denny Long. I agree with Peg. Denny, good to be with you again, my old friend. And Denny and listeners today, Peg, I think this is such a great topic. I'm actually really excited about it. The topic is called You've Received a Financial Windfall, Now What? And Peg, there's been all kinds of stories historically of people that suddenly receive a financial windfall, probably the obvious example being they win some sort of lottery at some level, and how the money's gone in a few short years, and tragedy and horrible things happen to these people after the windfall. Now, it doesn't have to be winning a lottery. It could be an inheritance or a divorce settlement or some kind of a bonus from your employer or a legal settlement or an insurance settlement or the sale of an asset, a business or a farm or real estate or whatever. But once you get this windfall, the show today is what now what? What do you do next? And we've got a lot of good ideas to share with people. Peg?
Yeah, we do. I actually also like this outline because you and I have lived through a lot of clients' lives where, like you mentioned, whether they, actually won the lottery, which we've had people, I haven't personally had anybody win like a big lottery, but I've had people that were on the shows, The Price is Right, and they won a big sum there. And also just probably the biggest one is selling a business or, working with couples and they're going through a divorce. And a lot of times in that case, one of the two are more educated about, what's going to happen next. So we kind of take that as something that we try to help people out with. But no matter what happens to you, and you can define windfall many different ways, but probably the first thing we do, Bruce, is tell people to take a pause. My reaction is always get that money into some interest-bearing accounts, because I've actually had clients that had these physical checks and they just kept looking at it and not believing or don't know what to do. I mean, the first step is go put it in an interest-bearing account, especially these days where you can still earn a pretty good rate of interest. And then I encourage people to just slow down. There's a lot of anxiety around this. A lot of times it's new. Some people feel like, overnight that their life is going to change. And some people almost wish they hadn't got it. It was just too overwhelming for them. So probably the second thing is if you, and this is just my priority list, if you don't have a strong kind of team around you, meaning the first thing I would do is find a financial advisor that can help you with taxes and know what your net dollars really are. How could you possibly even create a plan until you know what your obligation is to Uncle Sam? So those are just the two biggest points that I say is get your money working for you and then find out how much of that money is really yours. Bruce?
Yeah, I like the way you started on this, Peg. And you said something really interesting. You said some people almost wish they hadn't received it. We're going to focus, I think, a lot on the financial aspect of the windfall. But this is not just a financial issue. It's kind of like retiring. You also have to think of, personal relationships, your sense of purpose, the intrinsic rewards, your sense of identity. There's going to be a lot of variables here, and you hit the nail on the head. Take a pause, take a breath. You don't have to rush into any quick decisions other than don't let the money just sit there. Don't let the physical check sit on a counter in your home for weeks. Find an interest-bearing account. Get the best interest rate you can. Don't take any risk of principal immediately. Eventually, you might go into more sophisticated investments or investments that offer higher potential return. But first, just get it in an interest-bearing account. Take your time. I like what you said about getting professional advice, tax advice, legal advice, maybe a financial advisor. So that's the first thing. Take a pause. You don't have to rush. What comes next, Peg?
Well, because I'm a visionary, once again, I ask people to envision what does this do to your life? And I know we're talking about financial, and I know we're talking about money, but this newfound money can change you if you wanted to. So what I encourage people to do is to what does this mean to them? What are the pros of getting this money? And it's kind of interesting, Bruce, in that people will normally have top of mind things that they've always been walking around thinking about, but feeling like it's not even a possibility in their life. And what I mean by that is just to have the financial freedom. Do you want to continue to work? Do you want to share some of this wealth with people? You just start writing it down. And a lot of times this is us as financial advisors, we're kind of asking the questions that they already kind of had in their head, but yet they haven't come out and really identified what that was. And you might say, Peg, why are you talking about that? That's kind of the touchy-feely, what do I want to do with this money? But we don't know really how we want to invest it until I would know what WDIW, what do you want? How does this change you? Would you quit your job? So there's a lot of discussions ahead of time before we would implement what we would call the upgrade of your financial plan. Bruce?
Yeah, and again, I keep coming back to this, but I think you're right to focus on this, that it's more than just financial. There's a quote in our outline that I like. It says, a windfall can be a blessing or a burden depending upon how you plan. And that's what you're really talking about. So we can dive into financial stuff, planning. What should you do? Should you pay off debt, establish an emergency fund? You should review your legal documents. Do you want to be philanthropic? Do you want to do charitable giving? And we can dive into specific ways to efficiently do that. But again, it starts with what do you want to do? And then when we know that, we can help you with all the specifics of this planning and to make sure that this money is hopefully not a burden, but rather a blessing. So, Peg, we have a really nice list of kind of do's and don'ts. Do you want to go to the do's and don'ts?
I love that. Yeah, I actually love the do's and don'ts. And the first one is just take a breath, which we've been talking about. It's a lot of emotion. I've worked with many clients that have come in with a very heightened state of mind, and just having that hour discussion with them, they leave feeling a little bit more relieved and feeling like there's not an emergency here. You don't have to make some hasty decisions just because you feel like, oh, I have to do something now. It's like, okay, you need to breathe. I don't think there's a mistake here. I already mentioned getting professional help. I would be out interviewing financial advisors or asking friends, who they work with. I think it's really important that it's a comprehensive planning firm because you also need to know how much of the net dollars you're going to get, right? And so if you didn't have a tax preparer before or you didn't have an attorney because you probably have to redo your will and your and all of those things too because of this net worth. So the other thing is you still have to live your life, right? Don't exhaust yourself with this in a very short period of time. And it's almost, Bruce, like a family member passing away. This is kind of the same thing where you have to take some time and kind of envision what your life is going to be like. And I love that part of our job, in that we can walk through people and with people. And then we also take the highlights of what you have to do first, second, and third. And when you have that roadmap, I mean, people just kind of all of a sudden just become calm and say, thank you. You know the steps. And that way they're not so anxious about what they need to do in the short term, Bruce.
So what I've heard you say so far, Peg, in terms of do's and don'ts, do take a breath, take a pause. You don't have to rush into anything, with the exception of get the money into something that's an interest-bearing account so you're earning some interest on it and the check isn't just sitting on a counter in your house. So keep the money safe, get it invested, but delay big decisions. Do get professional help. And you started to go down a road that I think is really interesting in terms, again, of the both financial and emotional impact. Peg, one of the questions I always ask potential clients at an introductory meeting, and again, this is such a small percentage of this happening, but I ask people, if you won the lottery or you had a huge windfall, would you quit your job? And a lot of people, like me, say, no, I like my job, it gives me satisfaction, it gives me a sense of purpose, it gives me, I feel value, I like helping people or whatever. So I think that's one. I think sometimes when people historically have had a big windfall, they want to go quit their day job right away. And then if they don't have a good plan for that money and they mismanage it somehow, that's how they end up in trouble because they don't have a job anymore.
Yeah, and that's so true. And then also there's intrusive requests. Like all of a sudden, if it is something that's public, now a lot of these things we talked about, a sale of a business or, some insurance settlement, or maybe you sold some stock within your company and you have this windfall, people aren't going to all know about that. But they would know if you won the lottery. And you all of a sudden you start to get some pushy people and saying, this is what you need to do, and you get bombarded. But there's other things within financial planning that are important, and that is, how much of a paycheck do you really want or need? And then I would say a lot of our clients start to think about, the extended family. They almost once again feel guilty that they have this money, and they want to start providing for people that are in a lesser situation. And they usually start with family. If there's something that they can give to the family, or, we're originally oriented, we're located in Minnesota. And not that we're not national now, we're all the way from California to New York City, but our clients are very philanthropic. And they feel almost a little bit of guilt. Yes, they'll give it to their kids, but they think of charities. And a lot of these clients we have already give to charities, but they feel just so good that they're able to give more to charities than they thought that they could afford. Bruce?
Peg, maybe it's appropriate, and I'm glad you went where you went, because I have the same experience. I have clients, for whatever reason, the people that we attract seem to be very good citizens and giving people that want to help others, and they want to be philanthropic, they want to be charitable. Maybe it's helping family, kids and grandkids, but maybe it's helping causes near and dear to their heart. Do you want to dive a little bit deeper about the efficiency of how to make that giving efficient, whether it's things like donor advised funds or giving highly appreciated assets, or you think that's a good use of our time to talk a little bit more about that?
I love that idea, yes, because the IRS actually gives us, so let's say I I won the lottery and it was $1 million. We'll just make it up. Well, you can give away that money, and you can give it away without having to report it to the IRS with some limitations. So there's an annual gift exclusion that you can give $19,000 to any one or 100 different people if you want, and not have to report that to the IRS. Well, why is that a big deal? Because There's only so much that money that we can die with without the IRS taking a portion of it. Now, with this recent tax bill, you can die with $15 million as an individual or $30 million as a couple. But this is just a good way to utilize to give people money. You can give more. It's just a matter of you reporting on a form with the IRS that you have given more than that $19,000 per person. Then also there's other ways that you can give, and that is just through gifting. You could gift a car, or you could gift, you know, something that is tangible, but yet you still have to you have to report all these things. If you want to take a big trip with your family and you want to pay for the whole thing, you actually have to use that $19,000 per person or fill out the form. But more so, Bruce, it's just a matter of, how philanthropic do you want to be? So you can make a decision that you want to take a bunch of that money and open what Bruce mentioned, a donor advised fund. And all that means is you're making a deposit into to an account, and you're not quite ready or sure who you're going to get, what charities you're going to give it to, but it's probably in the best interest of you to do that in the year that you got the windfall, especially if it's taxable. So let's say you want to give $250,000 to charities over your lifetime. You can take $250,000 out of that million, deposit it into a donor advised fund, and then you're in control of when you release that money to the charities. It could be immediate. It could be over your lifetime. So I'm a big fan of that that advisory fund that you could set up, because most people aren't prepared, Bruce, to know who they want to give to and how much.
Yeah, and the key to the donor advised fund, Peg, or one of the keys, you hit on some of it already, but as we've talked about on the show a lot over the last few years since the tax law changed and they increased the standard deduction, many people that are philanthropic and give to their church or give to some other 501c3 no longer take a deduction because they don't itemize anymore, because their standard deduction is higher than their itemized deductions. Well, the donor advised fund is a way of receiving a tax benefit for your generosity. The year that you fund the donor advised fund, that all hits that tax year, even though it may go out to charities over an extended period of time, you get the deduction for the year that you invest or put the money in the donor advised fund. So, again, Peg, I'm going to steal a quote on our outline, but I love it. Charity is more than a gift. It's an investment in the world that you want to live in. I love that. So again, mm-hmm. people that want to give back, that's awesome, but it's not inappropriate or it's not wrong to get some sort of tax benefit for your generosity. I know you're not giving just for the tax benefit, but if you can be generous and benefit from a tax standpoint for your generosity, why not? Peg, we got a couple of minutes left before we need to take a break, but I want to go back to something, because early in the show you hit on this, then you hit on it again just a minute or two ago, and that's taxes. When we talk about these different windfalls are going to be taxed differently. Some of these windfalls don't have any taxes. Some are going to be taxed as ordinary income. Some might have long-term capital gains tax. Talk a little bit about, there's a difference between the gross amount and the net amount I have left to work with, depending upon how this windfall is going to be taxed.
Yeah, I was kind of giving the impression that, hey, you've got a lot of time to figure this out. Well, you don't when it comes to taxes, because if you've got a windfall and there is taxation due, you have to have that filed. Let's say you got the windfall in 2025, you have to file that return in April of 2026. So you might have some time, but I mean, you might have got the windfall on December 15th of this particular year. So you may be crunched for time. So there are things that you have to do, and I would say taxes are one of them. And then also we just talked about, are you prepared to give some, to a donor advised fund or to charities or to family? So those are the decisions that you have to make. And I understand that it's very difficult for people because sometimes their tax preparer are is themselves, and it's just way over their head. So I can't stress more about, you know, creating a financial team. Wealth Enhancement Group, not that I want to advertise here, but I'm partial to them, is that we have all those people on our round table. And by coming to a company like ours, you can get all that knowledge and will be very impactful in a short period of time because we're under one roof. Bruce?
So we're about out of time for the first segment. Danny, when we come back, I'll kind of summarize everything Peg and I talked about here in the first half. If people want to jot down some notes or bullet points, we'll kind of go through the big do's and don'ts of what if you receive a windfall. I'll give Peg any final words that she wants to make sure she hits on today. And then the rest of the show, we'll let listeners drive it. Danny?
Very good. Very good, Bruce. We'll do that very thing. In fact, I urge our listeners to call or text, whichever is easier, our studio line at 651-461-9226. Keep in mind, if you think of something midweek, however, you can always email questions at yourmoney@wealthenhancement.com. But do give us a call or send a text, again, whichever is easier, 651-461-9226. Again, 651-461-9226. We'll be back with more of Your Money. Stay with us. If you have a financial question for Peg or Bruce, you can call this number 24/7, keep in mind, and that number is 888-6-ADVICE. You can also email those questions to yourmoney@wealthenhancement.com. But we urge you to do call us or text us right now during the show on our studio line, 651-461-9226. Again, 651-461-9226. Once again, here's Senior Vice President, Financial Advisor Peg Webb, and the founder of Wealth Enhancement Group, Financial Advisor Bruce Helmer.
Thank you, Danny Long. Thank you, listeners, for being with us. If you joined us late, Peg and I are talking about you've received a windfall. Now what do you do? And again, Peg, this windfall could be from a lot of different things. It could be a lot of different dollar amounts. It can be taxed differently. But I think the way you behave with and how you react after receiving this windfall is going to be consistent regardless where it came from, regardless how much it is, regardless how it's taxed. And some of the things that we talked about were, you know, pause before you make any big decisions. Take your time. Take a breath. We talked about, you know, getting the money invested to earn interest. That's something you have to do fairly quickly. Understanding the taxes are something you have to do fairly quickly. But a lot of the decisions you want to kind of take your time, maybe make decisions after you've developed a plan, after you've assembled a team, find a financial planner and or an attorney and or a tax advisor. And we talked a lot about giving and giving efficiently. A lot of people, when they get a windfall, they want to be charitable. They want to give back, which is great. And then we had a list of do's and don'ts, and I'm not going to go through every one of them, but I'll do a couple of the ones I really like. Do take a breath, as we mentioned. Do keep your new wealth safe. Do seek professional help. Do guard against intrusive requests. If word gets out, you've got this money, you're going to find all kinds of friends and relatives you never knew you had. And actually, your advisory team can help protect you against these potentially pushy people, and pushy sometimes charities can be pushy also. And then review other things. We didn't talk about this, Peg, but it's a good time probably to review your insurances, your life insurance, your health insurance, your auto and homeowners, and make sure you've got all that coordinated the way you want. Especially some of those things may change now if this windfall is significant enough. And then again, we talked about learning how the taxes are going to work and what your net number is going to be. Those are all do's. Don't make any hasty, rash decisions. Don't quit your day job. Don't underestimate the time and resources it takes to do this smart and to do this well. Don't put all of your eggs in one basket. And don't forget, if you want to help others, which is great, it's okay to also get a benefit for yourself and to, again, have your charitable giving be part of a comprehensive plan with a team of experts. Peg, last word to you. Any key takeaways that you want to give listeners before we let them drive the rest of the show?
Well, I would just say, in our experience, we've witnessed people where this money has truly changed their lives. And I don't mean they went and bought fancy cars or, you know, just went and blew the money in a very short period of time. It once again, it almost seems like a burden, but until you get your helpers that can help you make these decisions, I have found that it's very impactful for their life and not just their own, just their entire extended family. In a lot of cases, you know, a little bit of money goes a long way with people who have never had it, but yet they want to be so responsible to do the things that they feel they have an obligation to do. And probably the biggest hint that I can give is just make sure you get help and that you don't do it alone.
Peg, you know, that reminds me of a story, and I'll just share this really quick, Denny, and then we'll throw it to listeners' questions the rest of the way. Peg, I had somebody one time that their windfall was a death benefit on a life insurance policy, and they lost a loved one tragically in an accident. And this person told me they felt guilty about receiving this money, and they didn't want it. And it's almost like the money was a reminder of this lost loved one, and it made them sad. And they literally gave the whole thing away. They kept none of it. Now, again, if that's the decision they want to make, I wasn't here to talk them out of doing that. But I did say, if you are going to do that, let's do it as efficiently as we can so it does the most good. And if you can get some tax benefit for your generosity, you know, why not? But that, to me, that's an extreme example of somebody, you know, that had, you know, almost like survivor's remorse. They didn't want the money, even though, you know, they did nothing wrong, nothing inappropriate. They literally didn't want it. So you never know how a windfall, again, depending upon what the windfall is and how you got it or why you got it and how much it is, you don't know the impact beyond the financial. Again, the intrinsic, you know, psychological, how does it make you feel? You know, there's a lot of variables here. And again, we're prepared to be sensitive and help, you know, whatever your situation is, to help you achieve what you want. All right, Danny, let's let listeners take the show the rest of the way.
Very good, Bruce. Texts are coming in. If you would like to add yours, 651-461-9226. Texter says this: if you win the lottery in December but claim the prize in January, is it income for the year you win it or when you claim it?
Ooh, Peg, that's a really good question. You're better at tax than I am, but I assume... I assume it's when you actually receive it. If it's announced in December, but you don't have any money in your hand until January, it's that tax year, correct?
Yeah, I would. It's really the date that you took receipt of the money. Now, somebody might argue, hey, the check was, you know, dated December 15th, and I decided not to cash it until January. That would still be the 2025 year, even though you decided to just sit on it and not cash it. So there's also going to be, you know, a 1099 showing that you got this money. And so that would be reported on the correct day and in the correct year that you would need to file.
So let me give you an example. So let's say that whatever this windfall was, it happens late in the year. The check is mailed, and it's not that you sat on it, but maybe the check is mailed late December. We know how the mail is during the holiday season. You received the check in the mail on January 2nd. It doesn't matter. That 1099, if that has 2025 on it, that's the tax year that you have to pay the taxes, even though you didn't get the check until 2026. The 1099 is going to kind of dictate that for you, right?
Yeah, and it's similar, Bruce. You know how we always have that rush at the end of the year where people want to make their IRA deposits, and they all wait till the end of the year. Not that they can't do it until, you know, April 15th. In a lot of cases, you can. But or they want to take out their required minimum withdrawal that they have to take by December 31st. In some cases, people do write a check and they want to contribute to an account, but the deadline is the end of the year. That check, the way you wrote it, may not work as far as, you know, being in the mail, as you put it, and won't be deposited until January. So it's probably just a good reminder for all of that to make sure that you're giving enough cushion before a date like the end of the year, which is a real tax date that you could be challenged if you don't you do it correctly. And the 1099 is definitely going to come out if the custodian is aware that you either took money or you something like that. Bruce.
Danny?
Yes, this may be another one for Bruce. It'll take me a little while to get through it. Texter sent this. I have the opportunity to be given $850,000 after my best friend passed in February. Her surviving spouse wants to give me the money that she left. They reside in Canada. According to Canadian tax law, would the surviving spouse and I have to get married, parentheses, matrimonial paper only, to avoid being taxed on the money? That's one question. But the texter also says I would have to open a Canadian account and have the money transferred into there. Also, would I have to pay U.S. tax if I then transferred it into my U.S. bank account?
Thanks, Danny. Well, Peg, the first thing I'm going to say, and we can take a crack at talking about some of this, but the first thing I just want to say is this is a complex enough issue that this definitely, you know, this person's not going to get a complete answer to their situation on our program from a text. They're going to have to sit down with a financial advisor and or a tax professional. But, some of the things, Peg, are fairly straightforward in terms of receiving an inheritance and how it's taxed, qualified money versus non-qualified money, or retirement plans versus things that might get a step up in basis. Those things are obvious, but what makes this to me especially tricky is the idea, and two things. Number one, that we're talking about two different countries, and number two, the relationship of the recipient or the fact that they're not a family member and a family member wants to include them. I think that's what's going to make this really tricky. Peg?
Yeah, I think this is very complex. We have clients that are Canadian and kind of dual citizens, and I'm always going to the tax department to talk to them about, what do I do in this situation? Just kind of shows you how well-rounded Wealth Enhancement Group is in our roundtable. But there is a lot of differences between the U.S. And Canada. I think the bigger issue here is, number one, it sounds like they would accept that inheritance. You know, I just want to mention that you can actually refuse an inheritance, if you feel like I don't want that. And you literally can refuse. And so there would be a person that would be taking care of the estate. And I've had this happen where someone said, I do not want that. And so then she contacted the person that was taking care of the estate. And then it would just go to, whoever maybe was listed as a secondary or something like that. But as far as the taxes in the U.S. and taxes in Canada, that is a little bit more difficult. And probably you are right, Bruce. It's not something that we can just guide you on this show this morning.
Yeah, I would tell the texter you need to make an appointment with a tax professional or a financial advisor. It may end up being both, but this is going to be kind of tricky waters to navigate, and it's going to take some time, and it's very complex. Danny?
I'm looking at an interesting text that I wonder if, Bruce, you and Peg hear from clients in this regard. Texter says, I retired, and it is kind of a windfall. All of a sudden, the money I've saved all my life is available to spend. I'm afraid to spend it because I have such a habit of saving it. My advisor says we will never spend it all. How can I convince myself that it's okay to spend?
Danny, that is such a great text. Now, Peg, We actually did a complete show on this recently, and we're not going to replicate the entire show here in the 10 minutes or so that we have left, but maybe hit on a couple highlights, because you and I see this. I think people are stunned by how often we talked about, you know, everybody, I think, thinks that the opposite would be true, that we have to deal with people that are spending too much money too fast and they're going to run out of money before they die. And that does happen on occasion, but what happens way more frequently for me is I have to try to convince people that it's okay to spend their money, they can have fun and enjoy their retirement, but they're reluctant to spend. That's way more prevalent. Talk a little bit about that again, Peg.
Yeah, you are so right, Bruce. And I often talk on this show about it has to do a lot with, you know, how you grew up and how you were taught about money. And I think especially the generations, let's just say the generations maybe 60 and older right now, you know, the way that they grew up and they watched their parents and it was in a lot of cases was survival. And you grew up on a farm. I'm talking about Minnesota. And so it's very difficult to change the makeup of who you are. And I would say, you know, a lot of people go to counseling for that because you're just so ingrained in what you were taught, especially when it comes to money. So we also, as financial advisors, encourage people to go spend and share the money with their kids. If you have children that are actually really hurting and just can't make ends meet, it's not something where we were, we actually, you know, would go to our parents and say, oh, I need some money. It's just not the way it normally is. So it does take a lot, Bruce, for people to start to spend. And I am one that encourages them to go experience things, especially right after you retire, because Bruce, you and I work through these people's lives and health matters. All of a sudden, you know, 10 years out of retirement, everything starts to fail and people are saying, wish I did, I could have, and you don't want to have those regrets, Bruce.
Yeah, and Danny, I'm sure you can relate to this also. The older we get, the more of those experiences we have. Peg, it might be a client, it might be a friend, it might be a family member, somebody we know, and but for the grace of God, could be us. None of us is promised tomorrow. I can't tell you how many times I've had a client or known somebody, they're healthy today, and tomorrow they get a cancer diagnosis or they have a heart attack or they have an accident, some sort of health issue. So, yes, we encourage people, it's okay to spend money, but I get that that's not an easy thing for a lot of people. When we talk about retirement, and this is consistent with the windfall topic we're talking about today, it's not just financial. We talk a lot about the synergistic change in your life. Think about this. This is what the texter's saying, Peg. I've been saving and investing for 30, 40 years, all the time I've worked, contributing to my company retirement plan or whatever my investment strategy is. I've been diligently doing this. I've been financially, fiscally responsible, and now I retire, and I'm not going to do that anymore. I'm not going to save and invest this money. That alone is hard enough, but then you add, no, and we want you to take money out of this account that you've been funding to replace your paycheck and to pay for your lifestyle. So two difficult hurdles to get over emotionally. And Peg, I know that when we did this show a couple weeks ago, you had a really good example. You kind of touched on it. A client that had the economic wherewithal, but had adult children struggling, and they weren't helping their kids because they were afraid to spend their money. And you had to tell them it was okay.
Right, right. I think too, Bruce, we kind of get a number in our head, right? We've got this much money, and just the thought of having it go backwards. I know the market sometimes does that. We all know that. But just for you to take withdrawals from something and feel like now I'm going backwards. So it is a psychological, definitely a psychological event that people have. And so your financial advisor should encourage you to spend. But I also have to say, you know, as far as assets under management with some of these companies out there, you know, they're supposed to keep all that money in their buckets of money within that firm. I have a problem with that. If people want to go live their lives, I easily will send them the money if they want to take their family on a big cruise trip or something like that. You've got to enjoy. Once again, we live through so many people's lives that we encourage them while they can. Go spend a few bucks.
Retirement income planning, the wealth enhancement, smart money strategy. Spend the smartest money first and enjoy your retirement. Denny, we should have time for at least one more.
I think this might fill us out for this hour. What might be the pitfalls and advantages of putting a Roth into a trust?
Peg, it's interesting that this would come up, Peg. Thank you, Denny. I had this happen this week. It wasn't a Roth. It was a traditional IRA. But I had to work. I had a discussion with a client about pros and cons of an IRA, or in this case, the Texter, a Roth IRA, in a trust. Generally speaking, we don't do that with IRAs and Roth IRAs like we would with non-qualified assets. But give the listener and me some clarity on how you plan for that.
Well, the only reason you would put a trust is where you truly want to control from the grave. It's not as simple as just naming your children or your grandchildren or something like that. You want to have it so concrete that the beneficiary would be the trust, then that would go to the trust would be read and it would be distributed based on how you set. And it could be, Bruce, that you could put language in there that you want them to get it over time versus a lump sum. A trust is something where you can define things a lot grander than just naming a beneficiary.
And on retirement plans, IRAs and Roth IRAs, by law, if you're married, your spouse is the primary beneficiary unless you disclaim that right. Peg talked earlier about you can refuse a windfall or you can refuse a gift. You can refuse the benefits of a retirement plan. But where I, Peg, in the case I was working on this week and where I generally see the trust come into play, people have their IRAs or Roth IRAs and the spouses are primary beneficiaries on each other's account, but the trust might be a secondary or a contingent beneficiary as opposed to all the kids, grandkids, and family members. That's what we were talking about earlier in the week, and that's not uncommon. Denny, I know we're about out of time, my friend. Thank you. Good to be with you again.
And you guys as well. Thank you so much. We'll be with you again next week. Now, if you think of a financial question, let's say midweek for Peg and Bruce, you can always call this number 24/7. That's 888-6-ADVICE. Again, 888-6-ADVICE. And, of course, you can always email those questions to yourmoney@wealthenhancement.com. yourmoney@wealthenhancement.com. Join us again next week for more of Your Money.